Anya, we should get out of here before more police show up.
The mysterious monk had vanished in the sudden throng of people who had appeared on the street. Anya followed Ken into the mass of people, marveling at how easily he slid through the gaps in space. They traveled for the better part of a mile. Finally, Anya pulled up short, which caused Ken to stop as well. She leaned against a storefront and tried to catch her breath.
Where exactly are we going?
A small temple I know of. It's just up this way a bit farther. We're almost there.
She pushed off her resting point, followed him up another block, and then down a side alley as he broke right. The area didn't look even remotely as if it would house a temple. Too many steel facades sprung up alongside them at every step. Bright neon flashed in pachinko parlors and video arcades. Internet cafes buzzed with people seated and surfing. And nowhere did it appear that a temple could find a home in this bustling modern metropolis. But when Ken turned at the next corner, Anya found herself reconsidering her previous assessment. Sitting a half block farther on was the gate that marked the entrance to a temple. She could see the cedar beams and wooden shoji screen entrance, along with the blessed rope hanging down from the gate that marked this as a holy place. On either side of the door, two red Japanese maple trees were paired with small statues of an angry-looking god holding a sword and gnarled rope in his hands. Ken stood before the structure and pointed out the figures to Anya.
Fudomyu, the god of warriors. His name means the immovable one.
And this temple is dedicated to him?
One of the few left in the country. For some reason, there aren't many who consider him a worthwhile deity to pray to in this supposed age of enlightenment and reason.
But not you. You like to cover all your bases.
Something like that. We're here to see a very old man who might just know how to find the Vajra.
Hold on. Why are you bringing me here?
So we can find the Vajra.
No, I mean, why am I even here? You've been showing me sights, saving my life, all that. But I haven't done a single thing that you couldn't have done yourself.
You've already done plenty to help. Trust me, you'll see.
I'll be waiting.
Taka! Doa wo hiraki nasai!
Itsutorai, Ogawa-san.
Good. He's home.
They stepped up onto the wooden flooring and Ken pointed out the shoe cubby. Anya slipped off her shoes and stepped into a pair of small slippers that wrapped around her feet like tight socks. The first thing Anya noticed was how much larger it seemed on the inside than out. The ceiling towered over them, and a large statue of Fudomyu stood deeper inside, bathed in dim candlelight. The fresh scent of incense wafted through the air, and Anya found herself breathing deeply and feeling much more relaxed than she'd been before their encounter in the alley with the psychotic schoolgirls. Ken stepped over to the smoky incense burner located by the back side of the Fudomyu statue and waved his hands through the haze. Pressing his palms together, he bowed several times and waved some more of the smoke over himself. Then he stepped back and nodded at Anya to do the same. Anya felt a little strange about doing so, feeling that this wasn't exactly a deity she might worship. Still, being in the temple of any god, believable or not, she figured it seemed only polite to at least pay a small homage to him. She waved the smoke on herself as she'd seen Ken do, and then bowed a few times until she felt more self-conscious than anything else. When she looked up, Ken stood there, smiling, as did the diminutive monk standing next to him.
Sorry, not exactly sure I did that right.
You did fine. This is Taka. He runs the temple here, all by himself mostly.
I used to have some help, but most acolytes these days prefer other gods to serve time with. I suppose this place just isn't flashy or fashionable enough.
Your English is perfect.
I travel sometimes. Come, I have tea waiting.
You knew we'd be coming?
The future is not hard to discern if you listen to nature. Most events are clearly laid out if you only care to notice them ahead of time.
They walked down a corridor on cedar planking polished by years of feet scuffing back and forth in sock slippers.
Do you know Ken well?
We've only just met, actually.
And you're not concerned about him?
Should I be?
Something wrong, Anya?
I just find it odd that you've never met him before and yet we're being welcomed as if we were a long-lost family. I can't imagine the same thing happening anywhere else in the world.
Perhaps Ken and I are like long-lost family. Maybe that is why I feel compelled to have him and his guest in for tea and conversation. Or I might just be a lonely old man in need of some decent company, and you two are a welcome change from the real estate developers who normally visit me.
I imagine they're offering you quite a sum of money for this place.
Certainly, but what is money worth? Not a thing. They would pay me a fair price for the land and then tear down the temple only to build another club or pachinko parlor or apartment house. Man does not need any more of these distractions. He needs more temples. So I stay.
The Yakuza don't bother you?
Anya!
Sorry. Please forgive my inquisitiveness.
It is not a problem, young lady. And yes, the Yakuza have stopped by. But while they are certainly to be despised for their criminal activities, they are one of the few groups in Japan who still have some degree of respect for the old ways. And when I told them I was not interested in selling, they accepted it with far greater humility and understanding than the new generation of developers, who cannot see beyond the limited life of their bank account balances.
They approached a small room set with a low table and three cups of steaming tea. Taka gestured for them to sit.
I've only just poured it, so it should be just about right.
He lifted his cup and bowed to his guests. Ken and Anya followed suit.
Mmm. Oh, delicious.
Thank you. Now, please, tell me why you are here.
I seek the Vajra of the Yumagakuri-ru.
Interesting. I must admit I knew this would be your reason for coming here, but when I saw this happening, I did not believe it myself. It was the first time in many, many years that I had questioned my faith. I see now there was never any need to do so. And you, young lady, are you also on this quest to recover the Vajra?
Supposedly. Although honestly, I don't know why I am. I've contributed nothing as yet that I would call either useful or even helpful.
Ah, she is an honest woman, and fully possessed of her own skill and wisdom.
It is one of many reasons I asked her to come along. A valuable ally is a very difficult thing to find these days. She is unmotivated by the usual machinations of mankind.
Time will tell if your assessment is correct or not. You know the history of the Vajra?
Mostly. I know that Prince Shotoku made a gift of it to my family over 1,000 years ago.
Indeed. It was to be used as a force for good in the world of madness that descended upon Japan. During the Warring States period, the Vajra was reputed to be one of the only things that helped keep the country from utterly destroying itself. As evil tried to gain root, the Vajra countered its influence by helping those who fought for the good of the people. In the wake of this darkest period of civil war, when only a few warlords remained powerful, peace at last seemed to be a possibility again. The Tokugawa family was rising to power, and soon would usher in a period of hope and prosperity.
And someone stole the Vajra at this point, yes?
That is how the story is told.
I have tried for many years to figure out which of the warrior families might have been powerful and evil enough to do such a thing. I must confess, I have been unable to figure out who would have been able to steal it.
Perhaps you are looking at the wrong people.
What do you mean?
I mean, you are assuming that it was an evil warlord that arranged for the Vajra to be stolen.
It wasn't?
Not at all. In fact, the people who took the Vajra would contend that they did so because they were helping the forces of good, and not the forces of evil.
But who would do that? There are no records of warlords mounting an expedition to steal the Vajra from my family.
Your mind is still clinging to the thought that the Vajra was stolen.
But it was.
Not at all. The Vajra was entrusted to a group who could safeguard it more than your family could. Your ancestors were very wise, Ogawa-san. The Yumegakuri-ru were renowned for their ability to see the future and plan accordingly.
But to whom would they entrust such a special artifact?
More tea?
Yes. Thank you.
The only ones who were powerful enough in their own right to protect such a thing and still resist the warlords who might have tried to steal it, the Yamabushi.
Mountain warriors?
Warrior monks who lived in secluded temples deep in the mountains to the west of Edo, the old capital. Their austere way of life, as well as their commitment to martial arts and devout ways, made them the perfect guardians of the Vajra. Your ancestors knew that they would not be tempted to use the Vajra for their own purposes, but your ancestors could not be so sure about their own descendants. Every new generation, after all, must find its own path, be it right or wrong. I imagine your ancestors believed it very likely someone born into the family would use it for their own gain and not the good of mankind, as it was destined to do. They did the smartest thing they could, short of destroying it. They gave it to the Yamabushi with strict orders for it to be hidden away and thereby protected.
If that's true, then...
It is. I have little reason to lie about such things. What good would it accomplish?
Forgive me. That was rude.
More tea?
Yes. Thank you. So the Yamabushi still have the Vajra, then?
I would assume so. I am certain it still survives. The Yamabushi are nothing if not careful in where they hide such things.
Then it would be up to me to go and retrieve it from them.
I suppose you could. But you must also ask yourself, why would you do that?
Because it belongs to my family. I want it back.
But why? Certainly the Vajra still maintain some degree of influence over world affairs, even in the darkest hours of this century.
But how do you know?
For the easiest reason of all. We are still here, alive, and in reasonably good health.
I'd argue that the Vajra should be returned to me. After all, recent events like the rise of terrorism suggest that the forces of evil might be gaining momentum. If the Vajra can be used to counter that momentum, then it is my responsibility to do so.
We've also attracted the attention of other groups who want the Vajra.
Very well. You seem determined to get it back at any cost, and I am certainly not the one who should determine whether you should have it or not. Come with me. I will tell you how to find it.